Our next guest,
he's going to have an opinion.
He's going to know about candy.
It's going to be some fancy
and, he's
Italian
gonna know,
one.
Right, he's going to know about candy. And our next guest, our first guest is Rocco DiSpirito. And Rocco, first of all, if you have a name Rocco, and you're from Queens, New York.
Forget it.
You got to be tough, all right? You got to be a tough guy.
And this is not some
good-looking guy. And one of my favorite television shows, he was on the show called The Restaurant. He's was also on a show, guest judge on Bravo's Top Chef.
And Dancing with the Stars, another one of
his favorites. I didn't even know he was on Dancing with the Stars. And now he has a new book out, Now Eat This. He's a triathlon. And I'll tell you, the thing that I loved about this show, The Restaurant, was the most the fact that all these women this guy was meeting from the show was amazing. Rocco, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Here's the first tough bit of news I'm going to give you. Stay away from the candy.
Stay away from the candy.
Put it out of your mind. Even think about it.
You don't eat candy at all.
Cold turkey, brother. Turkey.
When did you stop?
Get rid of it.
When did you stop eating candy?
Here's the thing. I never ate candy in my life because my dad would not allow us to. And we hated him for it when I was a kid. There's no candy, no soda. Not even restaurants were allowed as a kid because restaurants were the first four-letter word in our household.
Now, did
it was always about fresh food that your mom made. Nothing could replace that.
Now, did you ever...
I grew up not eating any of the bad stuff. Occasionally, I indulge. I had a Twinkie recently, I'll admit it, but I won't have another one for 40 years.
Now, did you have a friend that you used to hang out with that had all the candy in, like, the special candy drawer and stuff like that?
Yeah, I grew up in Queens. Everyone had candy. I was the only kid being tortured by my parents. You know, my friends were eating SpaghettiOs and all the M&Ms they could fit in their mouth.
Now, Rock, I got to tell you, I was watching this show, the first show you were on, the restaurant.
The restaurant, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I can't believe you didn't become like a hero to men. Because actually, I think you reinvented. They should have had a movie like Warren Beatty was in Hair back in the 70s. You should have had a movie because to me, there is no way a guy good looking who's making food, the women that you were meeting and your interaction with them, I'm like, this is the key to the castle. This is how you meet women. You have to cook and you have to be a heterosexual. There's no way to slam dunk.
Now, yeah, it's definitely a good combination, no question about it. When I think the thing that people love about chefs, especially women, about male chefs, is that what male chefs do is something that's very maternal. It's something that's nurturing and sensitive. And whenever a man can do something that is usually the domain of women and mothers, it's a sexy thing. You know, so if you really want someone to know that you care about them, cook for them.
Now, in terms of the go-to stuff, you have a new book out called Now Eat This.
Yes.
And obviously, you're doing triathlons. What are you doing? The Ironmans? You're biking? You're swimming?
I have Ironman. It's the most I've done.
Now, how did you get into this? How did you start getting into it? Have you always been active?
The reason I wrote the book is I was pretty pissed off at all the people out there who were trying to tell us what kind of food we should eat. And then when I tell you, when I say the people, I'm talking about
experts.
Housewives from Long Island, guys running around in sequin shorts, trainers on too many steroids. I mean, these people may know how to get into shape through exercise, but none of them have a clue when they're talking about food. It required a chef to become a participant in this health craze that we're in the midst of. And only a chef is trained to make food taste good. It's the one thing we know how to do. It's the only thing I know how to do. I do almost nothing else well. And so I say that at the risk of sounding immodest. And I just thought I can make all of these dishes taste good and healthy. And the reason I knew that is because that's exactly what I was doing as I was trained for triathlons. I was eating all the same foods I always loved, but because I'm a chef, I naturally alter them to fit into the new regime that I had to be a part of so that I could compete in a triathlon. And that just meant lower bad fats, lower bad carbs, higher protein content, sugar had to be sort of eliminated, less alcohol. And I just watched myself transform my favorite dishes, like burgers and fried chicken and lobster bisque, one of my favorite things in the world. That's about 1,200 calories a cup. And I thought, why don't other people do this? I hear Oprah on her show talking about how she can't eat fried chicken anymore. And
right.
I'm thinking, you have $1 billion. Someone should be able to figure out how to make fried chicken that is healthy. So it was so annoying. So I just decided to do something about it. And the result is Now Eat This. And I have to say, as challenging as it was to take those dishes and make them healthy, I'm so glad I did it because I'm getting emails. The book's not even out a month, and I'm already getting emails from people saying, you've changed my life. I've lost 8 pounds. I've lost 11 pounds. I can eat fried chicken again. I can eat mac and cheese again. My kids are in love with me again. And I just thought it was about time this kind of thing happened. And the difference is that it's from a chef, a guy who had a 3-star restaurant in New York City who really understands how to cook food and make it taste good.
Now, why do you think it is that we've become so lazy in the respect that people just seem that they've given up regarding food? Like, you know, it can't taste good. It has to be processed. It's got to be fried.
Yeah.
Why are we so lazy?
I don't think we're lazy. I think we're busy. I think we're busy, and commercial food manufacturers capitalized on how busy we are and said, here you go. Here are easy alternatives. Let me make something that you can throw in the microwave for 5 minutes, like a Hot Pocket. I love Hot Pockets. I think they taste amazing.
Right.
But you know, if you eat those every day, you're going to die 10 years younger.
Right.
I mean, you know, the commercial part of our country always responds to needs. They're the reason this country is so wonderful. It's that, you know, push and pull of what society needs and how business responds. We're busy. We can't cook. Boom. 1,000 options are put right in front of your face. Turns out most of them are unhealthy.
Now, Rocco.
And now there's a little pushback.
What is your go-to items? If you're going to, sometimes people get into the kitchen, they're overwhelmed, they don't know what the hell to do. If there's a couple of things that you're going to cook up and things that you need right away, what are your go-to items?
My go-to item is chicken stock. I love chicken
stock.
Soup. I love anything that chicken soup, anything you put in a bowl of chicken soup. So my go-to item is usually I have a great deli near my house that sells amazing Jewish matzo ball soup.
Nice.
And I just order the broth without the matzo balls, and when I have it in my fridge, and I'll put either shirataki noodles in there, which are calorie-free miracle noodles from Japan, or mushrooms, or diced chicken, or a can of black beans. Just bring it to a boil, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
it's a wonderful meal. It's very filling. It's high-quality protein. Another thing I eat a lot of that I enjoy a lot of is yogurt, all-natural Greek yogurt with fruit on it.
You know, it's funny.
Go-to snack.
I thought
can of sardines, great snack.
No kidding. I thought for sure. I really thought you were just going to say some fresh garlic and olive oil. And you get a little bit of fresh garlic and olive oil. You can take anything and turn it into a unbelievable taste.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, if you want to really cook, if you want to start with a bowl of pasta or something like that, sure. Garlic and olive oil is a great way to start a meal, but I thought you meant like a go-to meal.
No. You're right. Now I just want to see what I'm a schmuck. I don't know how to cook anything. I get overwhelmed.
How do I start most dishes? Yes, with the sofrito that Italians garlic, olive oil, onions. That's the basic sofrito that Italians use to start every dish.
Right.
It's a great way to start just about any dish.
Right. Now, when you're training now for triathlons, in terms of calories and getting yourself set up in terms of making meals. How long should it take you to prepare food? Do you have to prepare it before? Do you do it all one on a Sunday and get everything ready for the week, or do you?
Triathlon training is pretty intricate and requires precision in terms of your calendar, so there has to be a strategy. When you're intensely training, like 6 months and 6 months before, it takes about a year to prepare for a triathlon. But at the 6 month mark, it's extremely intense, where you're burning 4,000 to 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
So you're basically working out, you're eating, working out, sleeping, eating, working out, sleeping, eating, working out, sleeping all day long, over and over and over.
And what about the ladies? When do you have time for the ladies now? Are you married yet?
Not a lot of time for anything when you're doing a triathlon. It really is all-consuming. So I think the one obstacle that people have and the reason a lot of people don't get into it is because of the amount of time it takes. But it is the fastest-growing sport in the world, so a lot of people are getting into it.
Now, what's your typical day? Are you doing radio?
I haven't had a typical day since the day I was born. I honestly, I've done so many different things in my life. You mentioned Top Chef and Dancing with the Stars and, you know, the restaurant and the restaurant show that came with it. And now on my sixth cookbook, triathlons. I mean, there is no typical day for me. Every day is a new adventure. And that's what I love so much about my life and love so much about what being a chef and being in the restaurant industry in this new foodie world has enabled me to do. There's so many ways a chef can contribute. You know that I can do all kinds of things. You know, we don't have to be stuck behind the stove of a kitchen in a restaurant anymore.
Now, if you were
important and to be useful,
if you're going to help one of these busy moms that have kids and stuff, what would you recommend? What would be the
guy who has got a lot of money, so they don't have to cook. They don't have to cook.
Personal
chef.
That's
definitely a good move.
Yeah,
yes, no question about it. I would say this. When you have the responsibility of taking care of someone, whether it's your kids, your husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, co- cooking for them is probably the most important thing that you're going to do for them. When you cook for someone, you tell them that you love them. They mean something to you. Their health is important to you. You care about them. There really isn't as meaningful a gesture to be made in this world than to cook for someone. When a baby's born, first thing a mother does is feed it. That's how primal and important it is. Also, the social experience of cooking is like nothing else. There is no other experience that two people can do together that breaks down barriers, that gets people to talk, that you don't forget. Think about all the great times you had as a kid at the dinner table, or, you know, some of them, maybe you didn't have them, maybe you cried a lot. I don't know what your story is. But think about how many times your grandmother, grandfather, mom, dad made you laugh at the dinner table. The dinner table is a very important place for families to bond.
Yeah.
So my point is, cook for your family. If you don't ever cook for your family, you're going to miss out on so much of what life has to offer. It's just cook one time a week. Any recipe from this book will be better than something you're going to buy, some drive-through experience. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I put the before and afters in this book, in the recipes. These are comfort dishes that everyone knows. Onion rings. Have you ever heard of a bloomin' onion?
Yes, from Outback. Yeah.
Do you know how many calories are in a bloomin' onion?
Like a 1,400. It's like insane.
1,800 calories. 1,836. Do you know how many grams of fat? 124. Do you know that you're basically killing your family slowly if that's what you serve them every week or every day? Or anything? That's
right.
Not showing them that you care for them. If you make the recipe in my book, it's just under 300 calories, and it's never fried, and it's delicious.
Wow.
These are... So making decisions like that to take responsibility for what your family eats and what you feed them is the advice I would give to some. Cook and be in control. Don't let commercial food manufacturers decide how long your children are going to live.
Now, but what about the time? How long do the recipes take typically?
Well, in the last four books I wrote, ever since I became a home cook, because I left the restaurant business in 2005, I realized that people in the home kitchen are really screwed.
Yeah.
It is not easy to have a job, come home, clean, go shopping, prep, cook. Even if you have the time, you may not have the skills, the money, the knowledge. People are scared to death in the home kitchen.
Right.
But everybody wants to be part of this foodie revolution. Everyone wants to be part of what we're watching happening on TV. And so what I do in my books is I make every recipe 10 ingredients or less. I encourage the use of shortcut foods like peeled garlic, peeled onions, things that are already prepared. The good stuff, of course. Chicken stock in a box, one of my favorite things in the world. And I make sure that the recipe take about 30 minutes or less. You could literally cook some of these dishes in less time than it takes to go to a drive-thru and come back home and unwrap your food and eat it.
Right. Anything special about vegetables? How to make kids or even adults, you know, cook them so that they like them and, you know, they'll eat them, you know, they can keep them eating all the time.
Well, here's a couple things you know about vegetables. First of all, they're really good for you, as you know. A cup of broccoli has about 30 calories. A cup of mac and cheese has about 800 calories.
Right.
So there's a big difference
right
there.
Let's do the math.
If your kids don't eat vegetables, one of the ways I do is I hide them in pizza. And I did that in my book. I actually have a recipe for a pizza sauce that is made with Swiss chard, almost 100% Swiss chard. And because it's red, it looks like pizza sauce. And when you cook vegetables properly, they're sweet and delicious.
No one
knows that, unfortunately.
Right.
So hiding food in pizza and pasta sauces is a great way to do things. Broccoli, if you cook broccoli right, meaning like you cook it till it's cooked and not undercooked and crunchy the way no one likes it, it tastes great. You just got to get your kids used to vegetables early on.
Now, Rocco, Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy here, we are big proponents of pizza. We think pizza is probably the greatest food that was ever created
greatest
on the planet.
Ever. Love it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with pizza. Is there a way that you can make pizza... Because a lot of times you get a lot of slack about pizza being a lot of calories. You know, you get quotes of anywhere between 300 to 450 calories per slice. Is there any way to make it less? Anything I can do at home to make pizza, you know, less calorically dense?
No, absolutely. There's a recipe in this book for a thick pizza and a thin pizza that slash the calories and slash the fat. It's not so much calories, but fat in pizza. That you have to worry about. So
it's the cheese, right? You're putting too much cheese on the pizza.
Yeah. Use more Parmigiano-Reggiano and less of the other cheese, or replace it with low-fat cheese. Parmigiano-Reggiano starts out with skim milk.
Right.
So it's much lower in fat to start with, but tastes great. For example, I have an individual thin crust pizza in my book that the before calories are 610, fat grams are 42, and after my makeover, it's 210 calories and 5.2 grams of fat.
Oh, nice.
And this is using no sugar. Of course, sugar is a big problem in pizza. There's a lot of sugar in the crust. Using molasses instead of sugar. This is making your own dough with whole wheat flour, of course. And I have a low-fat marinara sauce in the book.
Right.
Lots of fresh basil, shredded reduced-fat mozzarella cheese, grated Parmigiano-Reggiano. Yeah. And that's it.
Now, in terms of you...
And then I have a, I'm sorry, but
go ahead, go ahead.
You know, I have a list of suggested toppings that really can make the pizza go from just good to great. And I give you the calories, like sautéed sweet peppers from a jar.
Yeah.
Only 50 calories. A meatball, only 85 calories. Half a portobello mushroom sliced up, only 11 calories. So I give you lots of options to make it your own and give you the caloric information. Now, knowing the caloric information is often all you need.
Right.
If you knew the okay, are you, what city are you in?
We're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, have they passed a law yet where quick serve restaurants are have to show you the calories of their food?
No.
Not yet, but I'm sure they're working on it.
I think it's part of the Obamacare.
Wait until that happens, and wait till you see how you react to all your favorite foods. You're going to be like, what? No way. I'm not ever eating that again. Once you find out that muffin that you've eaten every morning for 10 years is 1,600 calories and 100 grams of fat, you'll never eat it again. So a little knowledge goes a long way.
Yeah, having that caloric information in front of you, all of a sudden, if you just went for a run and you burned 400 calories, and you just look at the muffin that you just consumed in 3 seconds.
Like, oh, my God, I got to run three times as long to burn that off. Yeah, if you think of everything in treadmill time.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally gets to you. Now, in terms of are you still located in New York City? Are you living there still?
Yes, I am.
Now, how is it possible for you to stay lean, trim, eating in the city? How do you find places and stuff to do? Because I know New York City is the mecca for the greatest food in the world.
With tremendous food. I mean, I was at dinner last night at a place called Faustino, a Scott Clement's new place. First thing they serve is a fonduta of Robiola cheese with a poached egg inside with the most amazing bread, and then stromboli filled with mozzarella and prosciutto. I mean, it just goes on and on. Part of the message of this book is if I can do this, you can do this, because I am literally faced with food choices that are not bad food choices because they're good foods that are, you know, handmade by great chefs.
Right.
I'm literally faced with the most caloric food choices you could ever imagine. And if I didn't do what I asked people to do in this book, I would be 600 pounds.
Now,
I could eat 5,000 calories a day, no problem.
Right.
When you go to those restaurants, do you just eat less there, or do you tell them to modify it to make it?
Well, first he goes and he says, I'm Rocco Despirito. And then right away, they know they got to bring out the cannons. None of this crappy stuff. The real stuff comes out.
Scott Conant's a great friend, and we've known each other for a long time. So naturally, he'd want me to see what's on the menu. And I know that I can't eat everything that's in front of me, and I also know that I have to think in terms of treadmill hours.
Right.
And, you know, I'm constantly conscious of all these decisions. I think if you just add a layer of consciousness to your day regarding the foods you eat, think about everything you eat as treadmill time or, you know, life expectancy shortening decisions.
Right.
You know, you start to think differently. Listen, if you go to the doctor and you get your numbers and do the math and crunch the figures for 20 years out.
Yeah.
You know, for 60% of America, it's a pretty gloomy outlook.
Right.
And you will shorten your life. There's no question about it. By a large amount of years, the 60% of America that's obese and half of them that are morbidly obese, they will die early.
Right.
And, you know, someone's going to lose a mother or a child or a father or a grandmother. And that's the bad news that comes with the weight issue.
Well, the new book is called Now Eat This. You can go to your websites, RoccoDespirito.com, or can you also go to NowEatThis.com as well?
Yeah, and Twitter, Rocco Despirito. I talk about the book, give out recipe information all the time. It's the number one New York Times bestselling book right now, so a lot of people like it. Hopefully some of your listeners will. I hope we had some to give away.
Well, we're going to we're going to try to give them away, but we've had, I can't tell you on our Facebook page, can't tell you how many requests we had for you to come on the show, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule.
That's so nice to hear. I'd love to come back, by the way.
Would love to have you on. Me and the fat guy are going to be actually up in New York City the beginning of May we'd love to, I want to take you out on the road. I want to go for a run with you out in Central Park. I want to make sure that I want to see this training regimen that you're doing. I want to get a good workout in there as well. So I'm going to give you a call when I get up there, for sure.
I love that, man. That's
all
great.
Right. Listen, thank
you
so much.
If you give away books, send them to me and I'll sign them.
That'd be awesome. We'd really appreciate
cool.
that. Again, the website, RoccoDespirito.com. Rocco, thank you so much for coming on the show
today.
Thank
you, guys.
Take care. Have a great day.
Bye.
Make sure you check it out. Now Eat This. Check his new book, How to Make Macaroni and Cheese Less Caloric.
Gotta love that.
How to Make pizza. Our favorite thing.
Just for that, I'd buy it.
We got to get that. We got to figure that out because we both love pizza.
I know.
Make sure you check out Rocco DeSpirito at his website, RoccoDeSpirito.com. Also, when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at DrFitnessandTheFatGuy.com. Check out all of our great past interviews with celebrities like Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser. None of losers here, right?
No, we're all winners.
Winners here. DVD mogul and fitness pioneer Denise Austin, Bravo fitness star Jackie Warner. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, also our book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone, the Partner Power Weight Loss Program, and the soon-to-be-released, can't wait, I wish we had the drum roll.
I know.
John, can you do that drum roll? Do you have any drum rolls in that computer there? Can you make that happen? No, we've got to figure that out. 37 Ways to Raise an Active Child from Turner Publishing, and we're excited. We're also going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, April 22nd to April 25th, I believe, in the Omaha Fitness Expo. Go to their website, showofficeonline.com. Check it out. And come see us there. We're going to have a table there. We're going to be talking to people. We're going to be speaking.
You know it.
We're on a bike. We're going to be riding our bikes there.
Giving a ton of stuff away.
We're giving away a lot of stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. All righty. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Liked him.
Yeah.
A lot of good information.
He liked you. You're going to hang out with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to go running with us?
No.
Go up there? You have no intention.
No.
We're going to be in the city.
New York City.
That's going to be fun.
I'll be eating pizza at Ray's Original.
Well, let's see if he can help us cut down on the calories.